Hey everyone, thank you for joining Die Hard Discipleship Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Kale. This is where the rubber meets the road with your faith and God. Thank you for joining here. This is a new podcast we're starting up here, and I just really appreciate you all listening. I'm excited to jump into these topics that we're going to go over. So what I want to do is give you an overview of what we're going to do, a small introduction of myself, and go into a testimony. And then we'll start into the series after this one. So, just starting this, was disciple for several years and just have a heart for people to grow in the Word of God and their faith. So, I'm just really excited to dive down deep into this. The overview, we're going to go through Genesis and the major stories. We're going to show some of the archaeology, the stories, the scriptures, the outside things that show that these stories are real in Genesis and that our faith can be trusted in the Word of God. And so with that, we're going to do some archaeology. We're going to do manuscripts. We're going to go over prophecy. We're going to go over some other themes in the Bible. But I'm very excited to get this going for everyone and just share some of the knowledge that's been given to me and just pass down to others so that one day you can disciple anyone else that comes across your path. So with that, I'm going to jump into my testimony. So with my testimony, I grew up in Las Vegas, Nevada. My name is Kevin. I was with a family that was in a divorce by the time I was age one. So I grew up going back and forth to my mom and dad's house. With that, as I grew up, my dad's side, there's a lot of Catholicism and practice of, fasting, praying for the on the rosary, things like that. Just a lot of just traditions that people follow. On my mom's side, there wasn't much church going. She went to a Pentecostal church when she was a little younger. But she wasn't really going to church at all by the time I was in the picture. So with that, I was going back and forth. But as I grew up with this hypocritical view of God. So what that did in my life was come out where I looked good on the outside, but the inside I was struggling. Inside my heart was dark and wicked, and just did the things and the selfish things that I wanted to do. And so it reminds me when Jesus tells the Pharisees, he says, "You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you're full of robbery and self-indulgence. First clean the inside of the cup and dish, and the outside will become clean also." And so because I grew up with that hypocritical view, I was in the drum line, I played soccer, I did all these great things, I looked good, I was technically a good kid. But I ran with the wrong crowd, the wrong people, got into the wrong things. And that just sent me on a path that was not good. And it was very rebellious, not only to my parents, but more importantly, to the Lord. And so it was a very hard time growing up at times. And I could not say that I was doing things the right way. So with that, I went into college. And there was a point in college when because of all those things in my past, my brother was on the street doing drugs. My sister was on the street doing drugs. My dad was given 6 months to live because he had lymphoma cancer. And my mom was having these physical and mental breakdowns. And I just remember talking to her on the phone, and she was just sobbing and in tears and didn't know what to do. And I just remember getting off the phone at that time and lifting up to God, who I didn't really know. And I said, "God, there's nothing I can do in this situation. There's nothing." And the interesting thing, the Bible says in Romans 8:28, "For God causes good for those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. He causes all things to work together for good for those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose." And what's interesting is I can't say I love God at that time, but he answered my prayer. The thing was, though, he did change the situation. It wasn't the situation he changed, it was he started changing me. He started changing my heart. He started drawing my heart near, more dependence on him, praying to him. And he didn't really change the situation that was involved in. With that, I ended up becoming a firefighter in the Forest Service. And it was my fourth year I was injured with a back injury. I spent a lot of time on my back, about a year and a half to 2 years. And think about it as a very strong young man. Bible says that the glory of a young man's his strength. So you take that away from a young man and he's just going to be humbled. And I was very humbled at that time. I was seeking for answers. I was going through loneliness, depression, suicidal thoughts. And there's times I came close to death. because I almost chose to take my own life at times. But God was faithful. I was praying to him still. I was trying to hope in him for the little that I didn't know. And I ran across this gentleman who was praying to disciple someone. And at that time, I was praying for someone to be my discipler. And it was just God's providence that we ran into each other. And that started a friendship that still goes on today. And he ended up discipling for the next 7, 8 years, pouring into me, teaching the gospel in its full. Repentance, what it meant to humble yourself, what it meant to trust in the Lord. And through that, I was convicted thoroughly of my sin. The Bible says, Jesus says, the eyes of a man is the eyes of the body are the lamp. When the eyes are full of light, the body is full of light. But he says, when the eyes are full of darkness, the whole body is full of darkness. And he says, how deep is that darkness? And I just realized that the darkness, the rebellion inside of me was very, very deep. It was something that was ingrained in me. It was a habit. It was something I was born with. I was rebellious to my parents. I was a thief. So because of that, hearing the gospel message that Christ died for our sins, he rose again on the third day. He appeared to 500 people, and then he appeared to the disciples. Hearing that he came to die for me, that he took the punishment of our sin. When he says it is finished, the Greek is tetelestai. It is paid in full. Your sin is paid in full on the cross when Jesus died. He who puts his hope in that, his trust, his faith in God, that he sent his son to do that, is now saved. It says, when I confess with my mouth, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, it says, you will be saved. And because of the clear gospel message, the preaching of repentance, God humbled me to my knees and brought me to himself and called me his own. He says, I've come to give life and life abundantly. It's a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. See, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to destroy your life. He comes to deceive you. Jesus says, I've come that you may have life abundantly. And like Paul, I was baptized, and Paul says, I was crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives within me. Not that we're physically crucified, but physically we die to ourselves. We live for God. We put him on our throne. We step back. We sit down. We get on our knees and we put God on the throne and worship him as King and Lord. And since I was a new creation, Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. Three times. Nicodemus, he was studying in God's word. And he says, well, how can we be born again? How could a man be born again through his mother's womb? He goes, no, flesh is born of flesh, but spirit is born of the spirit. It says, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. See, Jesus alludes to Ezekiel a lot, and Ezekiel told the Israelites, he says, you have a heart of stone, but one day God's going to come give you a heart of flesh. And when we humble ourselves, when God convicts us and we turn to him, he gives us that heart of flesh. It says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. We become his child. We become a co-heir with Christ. We become partakers of his kingdom. And that's what God did in my life. I was so convicted that I started calling up people. And this was a couple of years after I was saved. So I wasn't doing this because of trying to reach salvation. I believe I was already saved. I was doing this because I was convicted and I did wicked things before. So started calling people up, saying, reconciling with them, making things right that I did wrong. I started restituting things, meaning had to do with money because I was a thief. I would go back and offer people more and say, hey, I did wrong. I want to do this. In school, I cheated on tests. I had to go back to deans and just confess it and go, you know what? I was a cheater. But then in the midst of it, I gave my testimony. I shared what God was doing in my life. And people were being moved by it. People were being struck by it, just like myself. And they saw the change because it wasn't just, hey, you say it with your lips you believe God, but your heart's far from him. No, it was my lips that would say it, but my actions would follow. You'll know a tree by its fruit. A good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. And because the actions followed my words, because God was doing a work in my life and driving me, it says, we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who's at work in us, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. On our part, we work out our salvation with fear and trembling and to be obedient to the Lord, but he's the one that moves our hearts, that drives our hearts to things, that changes our hearts, that brings salvation. It says he saved us, not because of righteous deeds, but because of his mercy by the washing, regeneration, renewing by the Holy Spirit. Titus 3:5. So because of those, the conviction that changed life, because of this gentleman preaching the gospel to me, repentance, and then going through discipleship, systematic series of teachings that just built on one another with scripture memorization. That's what I want to do with everyone here. I want to go through systematically and teach and share and pass some of this information so that you may pass it on to others, because that's what Jesus commanded us. Go therefore, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, teaching them to do all that I've commanded. It says, I am with you even to the end of the age. He is with us when we obey his commission. He is with us always, but he's even more with us and strengthens us. He has his eyes go out to earth to look to strengthen those whose heart is devoted to him. He wants to strengthen you to do his work. And discipleship's a huge part of that, walking with people. And that's what we're going to do here. So, like I said before, we're going to go through the stories of Genesis. We're going to defend them so that your foundation is solid in the stories. We're going to do archaeology, prophecy, some of the manuscripts, some other themes of the Bible. And then we're going to get into discipleship topics and keep going. So I'm excited for the series. I'm excited for you to join me. So please do. And thank you so much. I love you all. This is Die Hard Discipleship, where the rubber meets the road with your faith and God. This is Kevin Kale signing off. Thank you.